It happened to friends of mine. They were shooting a film about the epidemic, you know, about like COVID.
Mm.
They've been shooting it like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some pictures when, you know, they put like blood and makeup on actors.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian propaganda, they used those stills to say that, you know, it's Ukrainians making up fake news. Rob, how are you doing, mate?
Hey, Rob. Oh, I'm all right, man. It was just like your face and a mute symbol, and I was like, oh my God, the tension. I can't fucking... Jesus, God. How are you, man? How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. It's just the internet on my phone. It's terrible, so...
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to be good enough.
It seems like it's okay for now, but yeah, if there's any problems, just let me know, man.
I'm trying to sort it out. I was on the phone with a guy because our router, it's because of the rain, it broke down.
Ah, okay, right. So it's not because of some infrastructure reason, right?
No. We're safe for now. Yeah, we've been lucky.
Good. I'm so glad to hear. Like, When I reached out to you earlier today, I was like, you know, you said maybe some people would have some questions for you. So then I started asking people. The amount of questions that have flooded in, I have, is too many to get through. I've got literally 200 questions in front of me. So like, let's. but the first thing, and some of these people don't even know you, but the first thing everyone wanted to know is, are you safe? Are you okay?
Well, for now, but you get the news from like all the channels you can, and like some say that they might come to this part of Ukraine as well, that, you know, they're thinking about it, and there are questions why didn't they do it before. But the worst, it was for Kharkiv, which used to be the capital like a long time ago. It's like the first capital of Ukraine. And Kiev, of course. But that's strategically, you know, that's what he's after.
Yeah.
Kiev especially, right. It looks like he doesn't need anything else apart from that. But yeah, yes, other towns, they got bombed, and it's really bad.
But where you are, you haven't experienced any shelling, any direct attacks or anything like that?
No, not really.
Oh, thank God. Whew, Jesus. Do you have family that are in a more difficult situation than that?
So some of the relatives on my mum's side, they're like in Mariupol, which is close to
the sea. Oh, my God.
The...
Yeah, that's the seaport one, right? That's.
Well, you get Odessa and you get Mariupol on the other side. So.
Right.
Yeah, he's in that one. They don't have any electricity, they don't have any food, and they don't have any mobile signal, so we can't get through to them.
It's hard to know. That must be really worrying, yeah.
Yeah, the Red Cross, they were... there was supposed to be like a green corridor for them to evacuate, but Russians started a shootout, so, you know, they had to cancel it. And it's been like 2 days in a row.
Yeah, so this was one of the things I was going to ask you about, because I've seen that coverage here as well. And I've also done a little bit of like Googling onto like Russian coverage of this. And they're telling a completely different story. Wondering.
Just a sec.
Yeah, of course. I was wondering in Ukraine, do you get any of the Russian coverage? Do you get to see any of their spin on it, their propaganda, or is it?
I looked through some of it just to know what like their side of the story. Yeah, it's completely different. There's so much fake information, and they've been prepping this what they call like an operation. for to save poor Ukrainians. You know, how many did you save?
Unbelievable. Can you, I mean, does anyone even believe it? I don't know.
They do. Apparently he's the amount of people that support him, it went up. So he has like 71% of population supporting him.
God.
And it's the war of information as well, because, you know, like even some of the people I know, and I thought that, you know, like they do have some brain cells, you know, in their head, but it turns out they don't. And it's really hard to get through to them.
Yeah,
I don't think it's even possible. I mean,
if they've been spending all their like hours just being like essentially brainwashing themselves, it's quite difficult to change that narrative in someone's head, isn't it?
Yeah. So some of them, they think that, you know, the like what we see, you know, what we experience, that it's all like fake footage, you know, like it's all editing, montage.
Yeah. And of course, there is some misinformation out there. There are people like posting, you know, videos from other wars or photos from other conflicts, which of course muddies the water. But
it happened to friends of mine. They were shooting a film about the epidemic, you know, about like COVID.
Mm.
They've been shooting it like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some pictures when, you know, they put like blood and makeup on actors.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian propaganda, they used those stills to say that, you know, it's Ukrainians making up fake news.
God.
Yeah. And like so some of the foreign newspapers, they were trying to get confirmation. And the guy who took those stills, he was like, we were making a film. It's nothing like that. It was like a year ago.
Yeah, but it's just, they'll just use any, like you said, it's a war of information. They'll use any kind of ammunition.
And it could be even bigger than the actual, well, it's not bigger than the actual war, but it could be as big because, you know, they're losing the war. You know, the physical war, they're losing it. So they're trying to put as much pressure on the internet as well.
So I've read lots of different narratives, so I'd be really interested, and lots of people want to know this. Lots of people want to know lots of stuff, obviously, but one of the main things people asked was, like, what do you think will happen? Do you think they will achieve their aim of capturing Kyiv and overtaking Ukraine, installing a puppet government? Or do you think it looks like the resolve and the fight back and your amazing leader are putting on a real fight, and the Ukrainian spirit doesn't look like it's about to be crushed anytime soon? But, you know, from thousands of miles away, it's much harder to know. What do you think?
I think we surprised ourselves a lot, like our people, because there's been a lot said that back in 2014, when the war started in the east
with Crimea,
before with Crimea, with Donbass, Donetsk, Lugansk, yeah, those regions.
Yeah,
if they would try to do that back then maybe they would succeed, because, you know, people went ready. Ukrainians were still looking for their identification. A lot of things that we haven't noticed have happened. I mean, both culturally and, you know, we as society, we have changed, we have grown. So if they were trying to do it back then, maybe they would have some success, but not now. Now this is crazy. Like, you know, the president, it's like the tip of the iceberg. You go to the villages, those people, I mean, we're all terrified of them because they're so full of rage. They would just like smash anything on their way.
Yeah.
So don't fuck with them. Did you see the guy who was smoking, and he found a mine and he took it in his hands and he was just like throwing it away? we have our local gypsies who steal tanks, you know, on tractors. They come with a tractor and they just steal a tank.
Wow.
a Russian tank. Yeah, we had some guys, you know, we have some chaps in Kiev, and when one of the war machines from Russia came in, they just stole it.
They just nicked it.
They just nicked it.
Wait, mate, give me a tank.
That looks like a good ride. without their bare hands. That's the thing.
Amazing.
It's like, yeah, there's this in Kherson, another town close to the sea. Mm-hmm. They were parading, you know, like as if they took it over, and they're always trying to. They bring in their extras, their actors to shoot, you know, some footage for the news that, you know, like people are so happy that they've been saved by the Russians. None of this shit works because, like, everyone comes with the Ukrainian flag. And once they were parading and they were leaving the town, one of the guys with the Ukrainian flag, he just jumped on the fucking thing with the flag. So it doesn't look, you know, like a victory.
But they don't, presumably they don't see that in Russia. It's all cut out and edited. And I mean,
well, as much as they can. Yeah.
As much as they can. Yeah. Because I was reading, like, the BBC have been shut out. Any independent media has been shut down. All these companies are pulling out. It's like Russia is increasingly isolated and there's just one story, and that story.
Yeah. Is, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts, dude. I guess, you know, here we hear stories of, you know, 1.5 million refugees and, you know, women and children heading for the border, but every male within age is, you know, offered a gun. I think I saw Zelensky said that.
That's not quite true.
That's not true. Okay.
Well, I mean, I haven't been offered a gun, and I would love one.
Would you?
It's not like I've been running around and, you know, asking for it, but I don't think it's that easy to get a weapon.
Right. So what if the Russians got closer to where you are? I mean, there's a hard question, but like, do you have a plan in place? Obviously, like, don't give up your secrets. But do you know what I mean? Like, what would you do? Do you know where to go? Would you know how to get ammunition? Would you stay and fight? Would you try and escape? What do you think?
Well, we will definitely, you know, to take all the women and children closer to the border. And I think that was the right decision, not to let men leave the country. I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures of very old men with big guns, and it makes you, it's such a mix of emotions, because you're like, yes, fuck you, Russia. But also it's like, oh my God, it's tragic. This poor old bastard, he doesn't want to be picking up an AK. You know, he's retired. He's trying to live out the best of his last years.
I think, you know, people here, it's like, their spirit is so much up, you know. They're like, well, if you have to fight, you fight. What else can you do?
Right. Some of that kind of, like, what do they call it? Spirit of the Blitz. Like, there's more like community because things feel under threat the whole time, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And everyone is trying to help each other, which is absolutely great. And, you know, I don't think we've ever experienced that closure before.
Mm.
At the same time, you know, there are very rare occasions of somebody trying, you know, to use the situation to their advantage, you know.
What do you mean?
To run some business on, you know, buying ammunition or, you know, weapons, so they put like a bigger price tag or some things like that. But I mean, that's, you know, that might happen anyway.
Right.
Anywhere,
anytime. There's always going to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a minority, you know, like we can handle it quite easily. Overall, the spirit is up. Everyone is, you know, everyone is very charged and everyone is very angry.
And the anger, where is that? Where do you feel? I know you can only speak for yourself, but you can also speak, sort of take the mood of the people around you and the nation at large. Is the anger directed at Putin? Is it the Russian army? Is it the Russian people? Is it partly, you know, the West who haven't provided troops, or is it lots of things? Where do you feel
it's a mixture of many things, because there were like a lot of demands on closing the sky and that hasn't happened, and they were like looking for different solutions, like give us equipment to do it ourselves, or give us the planes, or like what else can we do? And it seems tricky, you know. It's because that when I was following like the first days, you know, and even before that, Biden was like very proactive and he was saying a lot of things. And right now, he has been very quiet.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Because that was dominating the news coverage before the invasion. It was like, look, they've got 200,000 troops. They're on the border. They're doing drills. There's tanks. All of this. It's like, okay, so everyone knows.
Yeah.
And it's like, but no one's going to do anything. I think there was quite a lot of people who thought, well, Putin's all talk. And it's like, but why would you think he's all talk when he's already done this multiple times before? Never as big as this, but it's just the logical escalation of his megalomaniacal instincts.
That's what makes his argument ridiculous. Because first of all, we don't have any Nazis. We don't have.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Like, denazification. I mean, I wanted to ask you. I know you're not like a religious guy, but you're like me. You're a Jew. You're in the theater, and you've got.
Yeah.
You've got a Jewish leader, a head of state, Zelensky. I want to get your opinion on that. But also, what is this Nazification? I mean, as far as I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, there's the Azov battalion who have a small portion, a few thousand who are like Nazis or fascists or some version of that. And that seems to be it. And that is being used as the pretext for the denazification, quote unquote. What do you think?
Well, I don't think they're as even radical as they're described.
Right.
And it's like, because they were trying to get seats in the parliament, and I think they didn't score even like they got like 1% or like something around that. So like, there's none of them in the government.
Right. Right. Yeah.
This is the fairy tale that, you know, Russian propaganda. Because I've been following like some of the stuff that they were like trying to say 24/7, you know, but it's just the story they made up and it has like no foundation, but they've been doing it for so long.
Right.
I think somebody's described it before, like the next Nazi regime, it will say that they're anti-Nazi.
Mm.
So he was trying to make this, you know, to make up the other side of the argument.
So do you think it's that thing of if you tell a lie enough times, it starts to sound like the truth to the people who are listening?
Well, for them, obviously. Yeah, yeah. And they've been doing it for so long. I mean, it's like, it's not like they've done it in a day. They've been doing it for a very long time. And like, yeah, I mean, like, everyone underestimates it as a threat.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, this is bullshit. Nobody's going to believe that. Huh. But they've been repeating the same thing for 20 years or however many years he's in power.
I think it's about 20.
22 years he's been the president.
There we go. And obviously the anti-Semitism goes back a lot longer than that. That's the Protocols of the Elders of Zion that came out of Russia. So it's obviously part of the narrative. Well, what do you speaking of Zelensky, what do you think has made him so effective? Is he effective in the West, at least in England? And from what I'm seeing around the world, people are saying like they'll be building statues of this guy, and you know, he's etc. etc. I don't know what's your take on that. You know, he's also an actor, isn't he? He's a performer. What do you think?
That's a funny thing, because personally, I didn't vote for him. My parents did. Right. And they were like, no, 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 you'll see. And throughout like his presidency, you couldn't even watch it on the telly, you know, like every speech he was doing, it was not really convincing.
He was demonstrating, was he? he needed a week at drama center to get that out of him.
it's not even that. He just sounded, you know, like he's less sophisticated than I thought he is.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. And that kind of made us worry a bit. And we would make a lot of jokes, even like in our shows that we were doing. We would just, you know, we'd make jokes about him all the time. Then the first speech that really shocked a lot of people was like at the Munich conference. When he described, and it was like a completely different person. It's as if, you know, he was training with some SWAT team for 2 years, you know, secretly, and nobody knew that. It's because everything changed, the way he speaks, what he says, great speech writers. I mean, it's not just one guy, you know, it's like the whole team. And everything changed tremendously since. I mean, it's like it's a completely different guy. Nobody expected that to be so different. And not only him, but like other politicians, they started to live up to that. You know, it's like a much higher standard. Even like our mayor Klitschko.
Oh, wow, amazing. Yeah.
Famous boxer.
Yes.
He turned out to be like a very cool guy. You know, he records like all those videos. He goes like through every hospital and every place he can. So, you know, it's as if they were all this time, they were waiting for this chance, this
cometh the hour, cometh the man, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Rise to the occasion. Well, that must
be. Yeah, and they totally did.
That must be sort of also stealing for the old heart, stealing as in S-T-E-L, not trying to rob, as make it stronger, like steal.
Yeah, because in peaceful times, you know, they were like clowns. but when the war kicks in, those guys, they're great. They're very brave. They haven't left. You know, there's been like operations against personally against Zelensky, you know, they've been sending. That's what I've heard from a few of the people that I kind of trust, that, you know, they were sending like special forces to take care of him, and they failed. But he didn't leave the country, he stayed. And, you know,
I saw that there was some fake news that he'd left as well, but he's not going anywhere, I don't think. One thing that took me by surprise in this whole thing is just how complicit Belarus is in this. It's almost as if they're acting as one country. There was some invasions through Belarus. Belarus are just letting Russia just flow through them. And I think I you know, you see it as a separate country, because it is. And I think I underestimated the extent to which Russian control was over Belarus. Is that just because I've got like a Western blinker? Is that known in Ukraine, or was that a bit of a surprise as well?
I mean, everybody knew that Lukashenko is in Putin's pocket, and that, you know, he can't make any decisions by himself.
Yeah.
But Belarusians, because they had a lot of protests, a lot of I mean, it could have been like Maidan in Ukraine, but they didn't push it. You know, that they were too soft on their government. But some of them, so some of the soldiers, they refused to take part in it. Sometimes we get some information from them about like what's gonna happen. So
interesting.
Yeah.
What about Sorry. I was just going to say, what about sort of support from the more friendly neighbors, you know, sort of Poland, who've taken in a huge amount of refugees and some, you know, some more of the border countries around there. Are you getting support from them? Is there, do you feel like supported by them, or is it just like it's an escape route and nothing else?
Well, it's absolutely amazing because I keep getting messages from different people, you know, like everyone wants to help, and it's very surprising. And that's why kind of we question ourselves whether we are as, you know, as caring when wars go on in other countries. Mm. And apparently that's the lesson we should learn, that, you know, because so much attention, so much help that we get. I mean, like I get messages almost every day saying, look, if you're in trouble, please come to our place. We'll take care of everything. And even from people I don't know.
Mm.
Which hasn't happened, you know, that's the thing we're talking about. Like, as a rule, nobody from Russia would send you a message. Right. How are you doing?
Right.
You know, the guys, because me and you, we went to Moscow, right?
Yeah.
We made some friends there.
Yeah.
And I only have Tim left. And Tim is now, he lives in Israel.
Oh.
And he's like a very pro-Ukrainian. He posts something Ukrainian every day. A lot of people, you know, a lot of his friends from Russia, they refuse to talk to him. That they, you right. know. So yeah, it's but yeah, the amount of help we get, and so sometimes, you know, we even get jealous because, like, you know, people who left for like Poland, Germany, France. We got a sweet letter from a French production company that was shooting a TV series here. Mm. They were like, listen, guys, if you need any help, accommodation, if you need like any tickets, anything, we'll help. So that's very sweet and yeah. unexpected.
It's interesting. I've been thinking about that as well, because obviously there's, like you said, there are wars right now all around the world. I just heard there's been a strike in Yemen, something like 30 jet fighters attacked a civilian place, you know, Saudi jets. And that war's been going on for ages. And it's like, well, you know, that's a tragedy too. But I don't see, you know, I do see these articles, and I'm not sure about the validity of being like, now is the time to talk about a different war. It's like, no, we shouldn't have stopped talking about the other war, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about this. And do you feel it as a war? Does it, is that what it feels like in the country? Do you feel like we are at war?
Yes, but mostly from what's going on with the people I know and who are participating in it, you know, who have like a closer contact.
Who've taken up?
We've been very lucky and safe for now.
Yeah.
So, that's the fear that so some people were expressing, that, you know, like in a few weeks, everybody's going to be so fed up with it that, you know, it'll be forgotten in the media, and, you know, it will cool down, but the war will be still on. And that's the danger, and everyone will get just so knackered with it. So
yeah, I think that is a danger, and I hope that doesn't happen, because that will only help Putin and hurt Ukraine if that happens.
Yeah, it took us absolutely by surprise. I mean, like, you know, it's when they strike at 4 a.m.
Yeah,
and like everything, like all the plans everybody had, it's like,
yeah,
nobody. have their job anymore, you know, like you cannot do it. Like,
yes, how much is society around you able to like function as normal? Because obviously you're not in the midst of, you know, you're not in Mariupol or something, right, where there's like no bread, no electricity, Russians everywhere. But are you able to sort of like work? Are you able to travel?
Well, we're trying to help around each other. I mean, I haven't been that good at this, but like a lot of my colleagues, you know, they volunteer, they do a lot of different stuff. I mean,
yeah,
The main thing is, and that's for I think is a good thought for somebody abroad as well, because like people keep asking like how can they help.
Yeah, and that's the number one question that I've had from everyone is how can we help?
Yeah, and it's like, well, first of all, the simplest way is to donate if you have like some finances, you know, that wouldn't affect your life.
What would you think is the? So one person asked me something a bit controversial, so I want to take your opinion on it. And they said what they said. Here's what they said, without giving away who they are, because they wanted to be. They said, if a country invaded my country, I would take up arms and I would want everyone to support the cause. But I don't know if I donate to the army and or to humanitarian support. And a lot of people have said, basically, what's the best way to help Ukraine and the people of Ukraine? Is it donating to the army? Is there anything questionable about that, or is it it's war and that's not relevant, or is it humanitarian aid, or is it just a question of as long as you can give, it will help? I guess people don't want to give to the wrong thing and see their money not put to good use.
I completely agree on that, because I've been sending money myself, and you know, you just have to trust.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you know the people, because I've been sending to you know that the foundation they did for Ukraine, like overall, which supports army and supports people.
Be clear, which one is this? Because I'm going to send a link. I'm going to make a newsletter about
it. I'll send it to you. I think it's Help Ukraine Donate, something like that. I'll find the link. I'll send it to you. Some people, they sent money to I don't know, to help pets in the war, you know?
Right.
Like, what are they called?
What?
These organizations.
Oh, like PETA or something?
Yeah, something like that. Some to Red Cross. I mean, it's like, it's whatever you trust.
Right. And I guess, you know, yeah, before giving money, make sure that you feel okay with doing it, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because there's no need, it's like, there's no need to give the last money you have. Because
Don't bankrupt yourself.
Don't bankrupt yourself. Yeah, it's not going to do anybody any good. I think that's the main point. You should feel okay. You should take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, going crazy, watching all the news and, you know, feeling depressed, that's not going to help anybody. So.
No. Well, I'm going to, for this episode, I'm going to give all of the Patreon money that I get for this month. I'm going to give it all to a cause. So I want to get from you, like you said, send me a link. I'm going to donate all of that. One other thing that people have said is, could you get Jodie Comer to infiltrate the Kremlin as Villanelle and take out Putin? Do you think that's
possible? I was trying to do that. I even came up with a meme. Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah.
I hope so. Did you see? There was that thing he was, Putin was doing, like one of his fakey press conferences. He had like a massive table, because everybody was accusing him that, you saw that?
Fucking, I've seen the tables that are like 50 feet long, and like he's fucking, apparently he needs a stool sample before he goes into contact with anyone, because he's so crazy about COVID. But I don't know if it was this specific one. Carry on.
Well, that's the thing, because he spent like more than a year, you know, by himself and like avoiding people.
Yeah.
And there's this press conference. I think he did it like yesterday or the day before.
Mm.
Yeah. Him and just like a lot of women, I think they work for airlines or something like that, because like all of the flights abroad are canceled.
Yeah.
And you can see that, you know, the background, it's fake.
Right.
So basically, they've shot all those like extras women around the table separately from him. And he has a microphone, and at some point, like, his hand goes through the microphone. So, like, it was, like, all badly edited.
Yeah.
And, like, at first, I thought, well, maybe somebody edited, like, afterwards. But, no, it's an official thing. It was, like, on Russian channels. So, sorry, what was I gonna say? Let's go back to the question you had.
The question was about Jodie Comer influencing.
Oh yeah. And there were like two women on the left from him. And one of them, she looked exactly like Jodie Comer. Like a slightly younger version. Yeah, I think
she's already there. That,
you know, she's getting close. She's there almost. That'll be a terrific ending.
That would be, I mean, yeah, that would be so Hollywood that we wouldn't even believe it. But if Jodie Comer assassinates Putin, mwah, thank you, universe. That would be, sorry, I think my doorbell's going. I'll be back in 1 second. You're right.
Sure. Yeah.
Back in a sec. Hey, Rob. Sorry about that.
Is it okay?
Yeah. It's all okay. Late delivery of the post. Chris Burks had like a bunch of questions for you, like loads and loads of questions.
He might even know more answers than I do. He's so into politics. He's so good at this.
He wants to know, if he stays, will he be involved in the resistance?
If I stay?
Yeah.
Well, I guess at some point I'll have to. Yeah.
Do you see it going there? I mean, I've seen some images of this Russian convoy line that's 20 miles long or something with lots of troops and tanks and stuff like that.
Oh, shit. It's good I haven't seen it.
I think, for all I know, that could be fake news, but that's what I've heard. Lining up to Kiev, there's some kind of miles-long thing of 65-kilometer-long Russian convoy, apparently. Hold on, let me share. Tell me if you've seen any of this. Something like this. Russian convoy, 40-mile-long Russian convoy. This CNN economist seems like it's been reported multiple places. Hard to, yeah. So some of this, there you go. You can see some images of it. Apparently, to the north of Kiev.
Okay. Well, a lot of their convoys were destroyed by, you know, our air forces.
Mm.
And that's the thing. Like, a lot of the soldiers, they don't even want to fight because they haven't been told the truth where they're going.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, actually, because I've seen on Reddit, I've seen, like, quite a few of these clips of Russians who've been captured by Ukrainian forces. And a lot of them are young, and a lot of them are confused about why they're there. And they were like, they didn't tell us we were going to do this until the last minute, and then we were too scared not to do it, and now here we are.
Sorry, I got a cat breaking in.
I'm glad it's only a fucking cat. Jesus Christ.
A fluffy invader.
Fluffy invader. Oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of them, I mean, they want to get captured. They want to go home. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. And I mean, like, there's been a lot of that going on.
Mm.
because they haven't been told the truth. They thought, you know, like they would come in, people would greet them, you know, everyone would be happy. Did you see the bombing of Kharkiv?
I did. Yeah.
Because they, like, according to their plan, they would take it over in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And once they didn't, once they realized that, oh, it's not the government, you know, because like they've been told that, you know, like the terrorist government took over like the country. So like once you get in, everybody would be so happy because everyone's so oppressed. But it's actually the opposite. I mean, like our government had to, you know, like live up to like our nation's standards.
Yeah, it's just...
we are crazier we're than they.
Well, because you know you've actually got a democracy and a fighting spirit. Do you know what I mean? So it's like that's a much more powerful thing than a dictatorship.
Yeah, because I think government at some point I'm sure they would have some doubts. It's like, oh, are we gonna survive this?
Or... yeah. Of course.
Could we leave?
They must. I mean, how do you think? I mean, this is, you know, crystal ball. Obviously, everyone wants this to never have even happened, and or to go back. How do you think this goes next in the next few days or weeks? What's your like hope, and what's your pessimism? Are you glass half empty or full? What do you think is going to happen, Rob?
Well, the worst is obviously the nuclear strike. Either from their side or if they will start a shootout around one of the stations like Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Because they took over one, like the biggest one. I'm sure you've read about this.
I have, yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but they took... and I know there was fighting around Chernobyl. What was the other nuclear plant? What's the...
Energodar. I'm not sure how they translate that.
Yeah, put it into, yeah.
Yeah.
Ukrainian to English.
Yeah, and there's one more that they're like trying to take over as well.
I wonder if that's just like scare tactics, because everyone obviously knows how powerful a nuclear plant is. So do you think it's just, they're just going to try and do these kind of like scary things, like take over nuclear plants and threaten cities and invade and then just hope to what, like break, do something like they did with Crimea, like just then annex it and say, okay, now these are the borders? Or do you think they won't stop until it's just all out war?
It's hard to tell. Well, like the worst scenario is that, you know, they would just destroy everything they can.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, those people are careless because, you know, like what's been told on the news that, you know, like we'll only bomb like
military,
yeah, strategic,
yeah,
buildings. It's fucking bullshit, you know, that they've killed so many kids, so many women, so many civilians, and what's the idea behind that? It's just so pathetic.
It is. I'm disgusted.
It's uncanny and it's pathetic. And it's so no wonder like some of them refuse to go on fighting. Because this is like some of the bombs they've been dropping, you know, then they capture the guy and they ask him, you have kids, why do you kill kids in this country? And it's like I don't know anything about it, you know, I just like got my order and
fucking hell.
Yeah. So that's the worst, you know, like
yeah, that's pretty bad. That's
yeah. Yeah. And I guess the best scenario would be that, you know, we would there would be some, I don't know, political changes, you know, we'll get some support or air support or they'll close the sky or, you know, more, I don't know, more military forces would come in. and we would stop this war. And, you know, I think Crimea and Donbas, they might come back and become Ukraine again.
Right.
And so that would be the best scenario.
And do you think after, let's say that happens, do you think...
Oh, no, sorry. The best one is Putin dies like today or tomorrow. That's the
right easiest. Now. Yeah.
It's so strange. And it's like, I'm not sure if that depends on one person, but if it does, then, I mean...
Can we
really not organize it?
Come on. You've got to. Someone, I bet right now, someone's looking at the back of his stupid bald head being like, I could just fucking go, right in the stupid idiot's fucking head.
Well, the problem is he's aware of that. So you know, the people around him, he's been selecting them for like 20 years.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think after this, do you think Ukraine joins the EU, it joins NATO?
I think it will join the EU, and I think it will, because we've already sent an application. So yeah, it might happen sooner than we expect.
And I think if that did happen, then I think they'd be able to give more military support with it being less controversial, if you see what I mean, because it's...
Yeah. Well, from what I've read, Russians don't think so, because they think, you know, that doesn't change anything in terms of defense. But who knows?
Who knows indeed?
If there's a chance, you should use it.
If there's a chance, you should use it. I think that's fucking right. Oh my God. Can I just say, I'm so glad to hear that you are okay. And I've been thinking about you every day, man.
I'm glad you're okay, because this thing, it's crazy. It's like everyone's in the same boat. Well, so some more than others, but like we're pretty much in the same boat. And yeah, it's a lot of people have been saying that, you know, it's like a third world war, and maybe it's time to acknowledge that. And, you know, it's time to wake up, and probably this is it. It's been I am very surprised with our army. It's very unexpected that, you know, they have done so much with so little. Yeah. Because when it all started, you know, we started getting messages like on Telegram channels and the rest, that, you know, it's like we knew that it might happen, we have everything under control. And you're like, we never have anything under control. And maybe it didn't all go like, you know, according to the plan, but more or less it has been under control as much as it could have been, because, you know, nobody expects that your enemy would be so pathetic and so sly, you know. It's not cool.
No, bro.
Because, like, you know, we could have been trying to do the same thing, killing civilians, but we're not doing this. It's unfair. It's not a fair thing to do.
No.
And that's a sad thing about them, you know, like not even trying to have a fair war. No, there's no honor.
There's corridors being opened and then bombed is one of the more disgusting things I've seen in this whole...
Yeah. You know what they're trying to do?
What?
Well, first of all, they'll accuse Ukraine in doing all that, but then they're trying to make it so people would go to Russia or Belarus.
Right. So that then they can spin the narrative of...
Yeah,
this is where they wanted to be all along, and they can escape the fascists. And
exactly.
All those.
It's like it's so stupid, you know.
So stupid. What's it for? Do you think? What's it for?
I think it's for him. It's just a game. It's like chess. It's like, you know, addressing it to history, to Hitler, to, I don't know.
Stalin.
He's a crazy old fuck.
I heard someone say the other day that he's gone from playing chess to playing poker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Kasparov said that, yeah.
Right. That feels about right. It's.
It's, yeah. What can you do?
Well, I don't fucking know. I'm trying to do what I can. And it sounds like you're trying to do what you can. Sounds like a lot of people are.
I guess we just need to fight for the truth.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds banal, but, you know, so some people, they get better at this. I've heard, like, someone from Ukraine, he has a grandmother in Russia, she wouldn't believe him. And, like, for 6 years, they had those arguments about, like, Putin being a bad guy. And now, you know, she gets it.
Mm.
She completely changed her mind about the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yes, so some of the people in here, they've changed their minds. So I guess that's the only thing we kind of can do, which is, like, you know, the plan I have, because I was thinking, like, well, obviously, like all of us, we might know some Russians. So how the fuck do we deal with them now? Because yeah. It's like, for myself, I define three types of Russians.
Okay.
The ones who support this whole fucking thing. I think they just should be sent home and they should spend the rest of their lives in Russia. I think they should be put to shame. I think it's almost impossible to negotiate with them. So, you know, it's terrorism, you know, like the guy took over a country and made all this shit happen. So I guess there's, you know, like you shouldn't go soft on them.
No, it's not going to work.
Remember how we almost got in a fight in Moscow?
Just one.
Yeah.
A few different, for sure.
You know, now I regret not going all the way. We should have gone all in.
Wait, so who are the two other types? So you've got the brain one.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about them. If they, you know, they disrespect you. If they're in UK,
yeah.
You know, they look at you from above as if they're some fucking great nation, which they're not. They're kind of in the peaceful time, they're the same as everybody else. Right now, they're the aggressor. So, you know, those are, it's war times. It's different,
yeah.
Different rules have to apply, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they look at you from above, they, you know, either don't speak to them or get them a ticket to go to fuck. No, don't even get them a ticket. They can fucking swim. Swim fucking back to their country, you know? If they love it so much, well, let them stay the rest of their lives there.
Yeah.
Because it's... it's so patronizing and stupid that, you know, like, all the Russian government, their children, they're like... They were in US or London.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, if you're building your country, you know, maybe your kids should stay there as well. Maybe you will try harder. So yeah, there's that. I think, you know, it's hard to negotiate with them.
Yeah.
And those guys, they just, all they respect is force. So maybe force should be applied to them.
That's their language.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
You get the people who you know, like they can't make up their mind, you know, they don't know, they're not sure. Well, those are the people who, you know, they have to pick sides. It's nonsense. You have to this is not that case. You know, it's not art. It's not subjective.
Right. And it's not something that you can just sort of be like, eh, I'll get to it. You know, maybe 4 years later, I'll look back and decide who is. It's no.
Not really. Maybe they should also go back, you know. Maybe it will be better for them to think this thing over in Russia as well.
Think it over without having a gun in your hands, maybe.
Or maybe, you know, have some isolation because, you know, it's... I think it's bad for people not to be proactive.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you don't make any decision, I mean, like some things you have to know the answers to. You have to have an opinion. Otherwise, I think it's bad for your character.
Yeah.
And you know, you become nothing. You know, you can be manipulated.
Yeah, you become a hollow shell for someone else's ideas to fill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not against it, so we take it as a yes.
Right.
Maybe in you know if they're indecisive, to take them to protest, take them with you to affect them with with ideas, with openness, kindness.
And logic and facts and truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't get enough love, you know. Maybe they don't know how to give love. Maybe because there are so many great things to create and to build. So maybe you should drag them into all that. Because otherwise, if you leave them indecisive, then, you know, that they could be affected by propaganda, so that's kind of not the good thing either. So there's no right or wrong, you know. It's like it's a very individual thing, but yeah, some of them you just have to bring them with you to protest or whatever. Give them a petition to sign.
Yeah, make them.
Or just to look at it.
Yeah.
And talk then, to those are the people you can talk to, actually.
Yeah.
And you know, they're open to reason.
Yeah.
And the last category of Russians who already go to protests, who suffer from it, because you know, like you might get sentenced to 15 years for supporting Ukraine. Yeah. Those are the people you go to drink with.
Those people, you can cheers with them.
Those are the guys you can trust, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's more of those in the world than of the others. Oh, boy, Rob. Fucking hell, mate. Fucking hell. Quite a thing. Just to think we spoke just, what, a month ago or something? And
yeah.
Very different world. Very different world.
Crazy.
So, thank you for like giving up your time to me, and please send me that link. I'll push out as much as I can, and you know, do whatever I can. And you know, you keep fighting the good fight, and don't think we've forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. No one's forgotten you. We love you. I'm sending you all the fucking strength that I can. I can't send you a gun, but I can send you other things. And I hope.
Oh, brother, I wish I could be as good a friend as you and like a lot of the people that have been so supportive, you know, to all your subscribers. Hello from Dnipro.
Dude, it's I think part of the reason so many people have reached out is because you are awesome, and Ukraine is a brilliant country, and I just, you know, I have no idea, I have no crystal ball, but I just pray and I hope and I wish, and you know, maybe in a few years' time we'll look back and be like, it was just a blip. And the future is better. But at the very least, all my love and support to you, brother. Always. You know where I am. You know I've always got time for you, no matter what. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Well, you know, once we'll take care of this, so sort it out, you know, you're more than welcome to come to Kiev. We'll show you around.
We'll have a drink in Kiev sooner than you think, I think, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, peace and love. Send me that link. Yeah?
I will.
Stay free.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Adios.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed it, please give us 5 stars and consider becoming a subscriber and maybe even supporting us on Patreon. Really, really, really helps me continue making this show. If you haven't enjoyed it, then you can fuck off. Many, many thanks to Nils Hennis-Steer for the amazing music and to Dave Fox for the cool artwork. Please keep coming back every week for more Bliss of the Abyss.
One.